So it's very nice to see all of you here. This weekend, the theme of my teaching has been cause and effect, and finding the right causes for the effects that we want in our life. We very often have an idea of what we'd like our life to be like, or how we'd like our meditation to unfold, but unless we know the right causes to produce that effect won't happen. And actually, it's one of the wonderful things of the Buddha's teaching that he points out this truth to us, that once we identify the necessary causes, we can create the kind of life, the kind of mind that we'd like to have. But we have to know the causes, the conditions, and then we have to patiently work to produce those causes in our life. And when we are looking to how our life has been or how our mind has been, we'll see that we are all coming from different places, different perspectives. We're all at different points on the path or on the journey to liberation. But wherever we're coming from, once we start to recognize those factors and where we want to get to or what we want to accomplish, then we are already better informed than we were previously. It's not just something that happens accidentally or by magic. It doesn't happen in a hit and miss way, but it happens according to the laws of cause and effect. Now, because each of us is coming from our different perspectives and our different points, what we need to do in our meditation practice even is going to be unique for each one of us. And although there are certain methods that we can follow, these methods are only tools. They're not absolute truths. And if we become familiar with them as methods, become skillful in their use, then we can identify which methods to use at what time, which methods suit us best, which methods are appropriate for this time in our life or for this episode that we're going through. And the other thing to understand is that with all these methods, they don't reveal their true beauty. They don't show their full potential right at the beginning. We have to actually use them and become skillful at using them in order to get the most out of them. So it's like having any skill, even a musical talent. Learning the chords and learning how to move the fingers on the guitar and learning which strings to pluck is only the beginning. It doesn't really reveal to us the beautiful sounds that we can produce when we become really well skilled in playing guitar. And for someone who's just starting off, if the teacher is to say you can one day make such beautiful sounds that you'll bring tears to people's eyes with the sound of the music that you produce, the person who's just starting off would not believe it. And so it is with any of these meditation methods. When we start off, when we're just learning, when we're just developing, and depending on what's going on in our mind when we apply them to our mind, to our meditation, we won't necessarily get the full beauty, the full benefit from those techniques until we become skilled at them, until we develop them, and then we become also skillful at applying them appropriately in our own situation. So when we take up a method of meditation, it's important that we keep this in mind, that we have to be patient and work repeatedly and persistently with the method until we become skillful at it. And then as we become skillful at the method, we understand more what it can offer to us at different times when we need different ways of dealing with what's coming up in the mind. Having said that, the basic two kinds of approaches to meditation practice, the approach that is aimed at bringing tranquility and peace into the mind, and the method that is designed at developing insight, understanding, these two are the basic approaches or basic strategies. And within those two strategies or those two kinds of meditation, there are many different methods to approach that. Even with the one method, like the paying attention to the breath, that can be used for calming the mind, but also for developing insight. Calming the mind, in order to calm the mind, we simply focus our attention on the breath and keep coming back to the focus on the breath, no matter what the mind is doing, when it's wandering away, when it's getting sleepy, when it's getting lost in thoughts, when it's very restless. We just keep bringing it back to the breath, and we use the breath as our anchor point. And because the breath is a very innocuous subject, the mind eventually calms down on the breath. And as we progress further, the breath becomes the anchor point for our attention, and then it allows us to access the deeper levels of peacefulness within the mind itself. So the breath is just the means to accessing that inner peace from the mind itself. In using the breath for insight practice, the breath itself becomes the thing that we are observing. We observe that the breath is impermanent because it comes and it goes. We take that for granted normally. But when we're establishing our attention on the breath to gain insight, we start to pay attention to the fact that the in-breath arises and falls away, and the out-breath arises and falls away. And this happens one after the other, and the in-breath can only arise because the out-breath has passed away. The out-breath can only arise because the in-breath has passed away. So we start to see this impermanence in the breath, in the in-breath and the out-breath, what at first seemed to be one continuous flow. And then we start to see that even within the in-breath, there is a beginning, a middle, and an end. That the in-breath itself, even while it's coming in, is already changing from one thing to another. It's not something solid and stable either. And the out-breath likewise has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it is changing even while it presents as the out-breath. And as our concentration on the breath sharpens and becomes more refined, we start to see the breath break up. It's no longer a block of the in-breath or a block of the out-breath. Each breath breaks up into many, many parts as it comes in and goes out. And so we have the experience of not only impermanence and change, but the fact that something that seemed solid, like the breath, is actually made up of many, many parts. And we see that the breath is arising dependent on causes and conditions, depending on the peacefulness or lack of peace in the mind, that will affect the breath. As the breath calms down, the mind calms down, we start to see interaction between the mind and the body very clearly. We start to see how the breath is affected by our sitting posture. The breath is affected by our health. All of these things are conditions which affect the breath. We also recognize that the breath arises naturally and follows its own nature. An in-breath and an out-breath, and an in-breath and an out-breath, not according to our wishes, but according to its own nature. So it is actually not my personal property. It's not something that I own personally. It's not something that I can control, even though it's essential for my own existence, for this body to survive. So we start to see this non-ownership of something which is intimately connected with life, my life. So we have another way of approaching non-self. This thing which I thought was just part of me is actually a part of nature. That I thought was mine is actually not under my control. It's a part of nature. It follows its own nature. So this is the way we start to develop insight using the breath. The same object that we were using for tranquility becomes an object for insight. So when we approach meditation, we need to know which method of meditation is appropriate for my state of mind at this time, which method is the one that I'm going to do. Am I doing this method for the development of calm, tranquility, or am I doing it for the development of insight? And whichever method I'm using, I need to be patient and persist with the development of it so that I am able to use it skillfully and allow it to reveal what it has to reveal. This is something that doesn't just happen through willpower, it happens through development. So now we'll sit in meditation, and today we'll look at how we can use the breath for the development of calm and how we can use the breath for the development of insight. So if you get ready for meditation, one of the causes for being able to calm down the mind is to begin the meditation with the body relatively relaxed and comfortable. So don't ignore taking some time to relax the body before we start the practice. Sitting so that the back is straight. The face is relaxed, particularly around the mouth and the jaw. The hands and the legs. Allowing the awareness to scan through the body, first of all. And then narrowing the focus of the attention to the flow of the breath. Allowing the mind to join with the breath. To feel at home with the breath.
As you watch the breath, the mind comes down, the breath gets finer, softer, slower. It can almost seem as though you're watching the breath from a great distance. As the mind settles down, it's almost like the calm feeling envelops the breath. The breath is resting in this calm feeling. Mind is calm and the breath is calm. With the mind calm, see if you can bring the mind closer to the breath, and if you need to take a slightly deep breath to establish very sharp attention on the flow of the breath. Having developed the mind to a point of brightness and clarity, once again take up the breath as the object of your attention but moving your awareness very close to the breath, to the feeling as the wind of the breath touches the base of the nostrils or above the upper lip, so that you can feel the breath coming in to the body and leaving the body. The sharpened awareness and calm mind. So that you clearly see the breath, clearly feel the breath, and recognize that it is in a constant state of flux. Constantly changing. Not owned, not controlled, not solid, as you feel the touch of the breath and you feel the sensation of the touch of the breath, you may be also able to feel the changing sensations on the body, on the skin, on the surface of the body that receives the touch of the breath. Touch of the breath is a sensation. But even when the breath isn't actively touching that point of the body, when the concentration is firm and well established, you can feel that that part of the skin, part of the body, is also in a constant state of change, of flux, because there are constantly sensations arising and passing away at that point of the body. More obvious when the breath is touching that part, but even without the touch of the breath actively happening, there is change taking place in that part of the body. As you continue to focus on the place where the breath, the wind of the breath, touches the body, you feel the sensations at that point, you may gradually be able to feel sensations spreading out from that point, an indication of constant change all over the body. You may not be able to feel it all over the body, but you can feel it in that area where your concentration is focused. Sensations arising and passing away, evidence of constant change taking place. Gently let go of attention on the sensations and just once more become aware of the flow of the breath, breathing in and breathing out. Gradually expanding your awareness to become aware of the whole body from the top of the head to the tips of the toes. body sitting, sitting posture, the whole body. Becoming aware of the mood of the mind, feeling in the mind as we come to the end of the meditation. Noticing any change that has taken place in the mind since we started the meditation. However the meditation has been for you, deliberately bringing into the mind a feeling of appreciation by having the opportunity to practice meditation, and appreciation for the effort that you've made to be here, and the effort that you've made in the meditation. Feeling of kindness and softness, friendliness to yourself. And at this moment of your life, any questions?
Is it useful to use words with the breath, like breathing in the word slow and maybe breathing out the word down, slow down,
yes,
just at the beginning to sort of,
yes,
bring the mind to peace?
Yes, so the question is it useful to use words in the beginning like slow or peace or whatever? And yes, it's useful if you need that as a prop for the mind. That's a useful way to begin the meditation and find a word that means something to you and try to make the word match with the breath so that you don't have two distinct objects that you're watching, so that you keep the words in sync with the breath. Otherwise, you can have not a very sharp awareness. But yes, it's useful in the beginning, and gradually as the attention gets sharper, you can let go of the word and just use the breath.
Thank you.
One of the tricks of the mind is that it's easy for us to think that we're watching the breath without distraction, but still to entertain thoughts that are almost like in the back of our mind. Our attention can move so swiftly
that between the in-breath and the out-breath, we can breathe in and have a thought before the out-breath's going out, and then we're back there for the breath, and we think we have been there all the time, but actually we're doing two things at once. So that's the downside or danger of putting a word with the breath. We can have the word and the breath, but they're not in sync. So it's the mind still isn't getting sharper, staying with the breath. So that's just something that we can notice, even if we're not using a word, that the mind can so quickly move from one thing to the other that it seems that we're staying with the breath continuously, but that's not the case. So in keeping with the theme of cause and effect, in terms of the meditation that we just did, being able to calm the mind and make the mind bright so that the attention gets sharper and sharper. And when the mind really starts to calm down and the peaceful feeling and the brightness comes into the mind, the breath gets very slow and the time between the in-breath and the out-breath gets longer. So it can seem that we're looking at the breath from a long way away, because it's so fine, soft, and taking longer to come in that it seems to have almost disappeared. And so we can have the perception that we're actually looking at it further, sort of like far away in the distance. That's just the effect of everything calming down. In fact, the mind at that point, because it's pleasant, we want to keep the attention there. It's less likely to be drawn out to distractions of thinking or sounds that are happening outside. And that is the result of coming back again and again to the breath, letting go of thoughts and letting go of sounds. The effect is that the mind does brighten, the awareness becomes sharper, and then we can apply that to bringing the breath back into the centre of our awareness, but within that field of calm and clarity, and then we can see the nature of the breath more clearly. And at that time, if the breath has really calmed down and become very fine and very smooth and very soft, we can often feel the individual molecules of the breath almost. There's hardly a movement that's the usual flow or wind, but just almost an indistinct, no distinction between in and out, but simply just molecules of breath touching. And we have to be very sharp in our awareness to be able to feel that touch. It's very soft, very gentle. But when we become aware of that touch, it also heightens the awareness of the other sensations in the area where we're feeling that, especially around this nose, nostril, above the upper lip area. We start to feel the sensations that are arising there naturally, even without the touch of the breath. And then we start to realize, because we're not doing anything, those sensations are just happening, that this is what's happening all the time. First of all, we only know it in that part of the body, but this is taking place all the time, but our attention is not sharp enough. Our awareness isn't sharp enough to feel those sensations. So the effect of calming the mind and sharpening the mind is that we're able to feel things that we couldn't feel before or don't usually feel. And that becomes a cause for understanding or insight to arise, or at least just maybe this is happening all the time and I just don't realize it. Because what we hear from the Buddha's teaching is that this body is in a constant state of flux and flow, and that it's constantly changing moment by moment, but our direct experience of that is only on a very gross level.